जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारे। गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर रे, गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर रे, यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनारन्दन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनारन्दन यमुना तीरा वन चहारे, जमुना तीरा वन चहारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारे, जय जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारे, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवराज आचार्य स्तोत्र सरसी श्रीमाली दिवांग्रेज भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, ग्रंथराय श्रीमद भागवतम की, श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी श्री श्री गौनीताय श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सोदर महाराज की आय गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि। So, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 4 द एट्रोसिटीज ऑफ किंग कंस एंड दिस इज वर्स 7 एंड 8 एंड ये वर्स 7 ऑन द बोर्ड and we're taking verse 8 as well because there's no purport there. Shishuka uvacha upaguyat majamevam rudatya dina dinavat yachitastam vinirbharstya hastad achit Chide Kala Shri Shuka Uvacha Upaguyat Majam Evam Rudatya Dina Dinavat Yachitastam Vinirbharsya हस्तारा चिच्छिदे कला। श्रीशुक उवाच उपागुयात्मजामेवम् रुदत्यादीन दीनवत् याचितस्तं विनिर्वर्ष्य हस्ताराचिच्छिदे कला। Shishuka uvacha. Shishukadev Goswami said, Upaguhya, embracing Atmajam, her daughter, Evam, in this way, Rudatya, by Devaki, who was crying, Dina Dinavat, very, very piteously, like a poor woman. Yachittaha, being begged, tam, her Devaki, vinirbarsya, chastising, hastat, from her hands, achitchide, separated the child by force. Kala Kamsa, the most cruel. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Shishukadev Goswami continued, piteously embracing her daughter and crying, Devaki begged Kamsa for the child, but he was so cruel that he chastised her and forcibly snatched the child from her hands. Purport. Although Devaki was crying like a very poor woman, actually she was not poor, and therefore the word used here is Dinavat. She had already given birth to Krishna. Therefore, who could have been richer than she? Even the demigods had come to offer prayers to Devaki, but she played the part of a poor, piteously afflicted woman because she wanted to save the daughter of Yasoda. ओम ज्ञानातिब्रह्मस्य ज्ञानञ्जना शलाकया चक्षुरमिथमिन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते रमापादस्वामिनीति नाम्नि। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदन्तस्वामिनीति नाम्नि। Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatyadeshtarini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Shiva Sari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So we continue here, the 10th canto, the topmost Leelas of the topmost, almost said incarnation, but Krishna is not an incarnation, he's the fountainhead of all incarnations, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada explains that although Krishna and many expansions are none different, still we understand that the first candle, like you have a dozen candles all lit up, they all look the same. They all give you the same light and heat, the same capacity. Still, the first candle originally lit up all the other candles. So we understand that it's Krishna, the primeval Lord, Anadir, Sarva Karma Karanam. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam and the atrocities of King Kamsa. And King Kamsa represents the vice introduced in Kali Yuga. Very vicious, very cruel, unforgiving, and very selfish, and absolutely atheistic. And previously we heard Devaki was trying to implement political strategy. First, he pointed out comes to that, but he was doing is very evil. But then he started buttering him up, flattering him, try to convince him to come to his right mind. And Srila Prabhupada also said, we have to preach like this. Of course, this is political maneuver. Srila Prabhupada says that we have to follow the instructions of Prabhudananda Saraswati when we preach. That we tell people that, my dear sir, you're so learned. You're born in such a high family. You're so intelligent. Your wisdom has no limits. And you're so good looking. You're so beautiful. And you have learned all scriptures and philosophies. And we bow down to you. But for now, you forget all this and just hear the message of Lord Chaitanya. So we have to flatter people to get their confidence. And I remember one devotee, Bhagavat Purana, you might know him. He's a little eccentric, right? So we used to distribute books in Massachusetts in the parking lots. You know, that involves people coming to their car and then you stop them before they get in. So people would come to their car and he would stop them. Excuse me, sir, is this your car? I said, yes. Wow! Because, you know, the car is the extension of your body. That's what people like to have, you know, sexy-looking sports cars and, you know, expensive, big, you know, Cadillac or whatever it is, you know, they're into. And immediately, oh, he likes my car, he likes me. Car, you know. This is called ahankar, right? False ego. So we have to flatter people a little bit in order to get their confidence in us. But then we have to give him the real deal. You're not this body, you're not this car. Please accept Krishna. Please accept Lord Chaitanya. And give up your sinful life. And here, Devaki, she's playing the part of a poor woman and piteously crying in order to save the daughter of Mother Yashoda. And then Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that she was not poor at all. She was not a poor lady. But because Krishna took birth from her. Can you imagine the qualification of that person? Krishna takes birth from her. And so she has the whole world. She has more than the whole world. Yet she's still acting in such a way like she doesn't know. Everything is ordained by destiny. And if Krishna has taken birth as my child, then definitely he will control the situation. And no matter what I will do here, Krishna is in charge. And he will take care of everything. But still we see that she's playing her part. To me it is not clear because she's in her womanly nature or simply because she's playing a part as to bewilder Kamsa, to thinking that he's in power, giving them the illusion. And as I said, this Kamsa is a representation of Kali Yuga introducing vice or sinful activities. Of course, earlier we heard in the Bhagavatam, the first canto, it was Kali beating down the cow, and only the one leg left, truthfulness in Kali Yuga. But we know Kali Yuga is advancing because less and less truthfulness is there in society. You open a television or newspapers or in everyday life, people are corrupted by not telling the truth. And as you advance in life, you see everybody's lying, cheating, wild lies, or maybe more than just wild lies, but it becomes a nature, a habit. And it's accepted in society as a normal thing to lie. Especially political circles, business, they call it white-collared crime, right? But if you go to other, some third world countries, I don't want to say any names to offend anybody, but even people are very accustomed to lying and cheating. You know, and it's accepted or just looked over. Yeah, you know, we know it's happening and there's nothing you can do about it. And you also do it. I don't. I'm just saying this is the mentality. And if you have brahminical qualities and truthfulness is one of the foremost, cleanliness, truthfulness, samodava, tapo saucham, right? Then it will disturb you. But at the same time, other quality of a brahmana is that you're tolerant and you have to tolerate it some, even though it disturbs you. Titikshava karunika, right? This is the ornament of a devotee. Titikshava, what is tikshava? Tolerance. Karunika, compassion. Otherwise, how will we preach in Kali Yuga if you're not tolerant and compassionate? Now, we could just go on and complain about, nag about everything. But no, we understand we have samadarshinaha. When we preach to people, you see him, you know, we go out and approach people on the street, try to give him Srila Prabhupada's books. And you see them, they're coming down, you know, girlfriend in one hand, and a cigarette, and the other hand they have beer, right? So you think, oh my God, this is a very sinful life. But no, we go through all these sinful layers, and we penetrate all these, not caring about them, and we talk to the soul within all those layers of ignorance and passion. We talk to the soul, and people immediately understand when we talk to them, the real them, you know, the real person inside. Not all these coverings. If we approach these coverings, we can go on and have a conversation which will be very external. Whether they like us or they don't like us, but we will not be able to give them anything substantial, spiritually substantial. So, Kamsa introduced all these vices, and sinful life is prominent in Kali Yuga. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, such a genius way, he introduced these four principles of freedom for us, which are no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, and no gambling. If you give up these four things, then you will become free from sin. And then you can understand the science of Srimad Bhagavatam, or transcendental lifestyle, alternative lifestyle, very easily. And then you can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And of course, this science of Krishna consciousness is not available anywhere. If you turn on your television set, your smartphone, whatever, what do you hear? It's just you have to enjoy your senses, and you have to engage in political debates. But what is Srila Prabhupada's idea about politics? Is that we have so many zeros, and if we don't put Krishna in front, they're all useless. I have a nice quote here, actually. But, well, first of all, we have to establish, there is so much talk about morality. Subhah Prabhu touched on that point yesterday in class. What is morality? And we understand that moralities are the principles laid down by Krishna himself. Dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. Right? What is the verse? Dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. Navai vidur risayo napi devaha. Nasiddha mukya asura manusyaha. Kuto anu vidyadhara charanadayaha. Real religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although fully situated in the mode of goodness, even the great rishis who occupy the topmost planets cannot ascertain the real religious principles, nor can the demigods or the leaders of Siddhaloka, to say nothing of the asuras, ordinary human beings, vidyadharas and charanas. And the asuras, demons, or ordinary human beings, they establish their secular education, where God has been taken out of schools. And in fact, nowadays you cannot even mention that word God or preach any religious beliefs in school. It is so demoniac. Yet they want to establish what is morality in society. But we understand that everybody has a newer and newer form of morality, what they think morality is. You know, and therefore we can say that morality becomes subjected to preference. I prefer to have this kind of illusion, grosser and grosser ways. You know, they have sexual orientations, or they have gender, can't even follow the whole madness which is going on in society, especially in the U.S. I cannot follow it because it's just insane, and it never stops. So it never stops because, why? Because it's the sense gratification is simply unsatiated, is never satisfied, and then we're looking for newer and newer ways of sense gratification. And our approach, the Bhagavatam approach, is simply give it up. Give it up. It's nothing there. You're looking for satisfaction in the wrong place. That is our idea. And therefore, the idea that we are giving to society is completely different from anything. So therefore, we didn't engage in their debate on politics, debate on morality. What is morality? What is good? What is bad? They don't know anything. They don't know anything. We follow Krishna's instruction. We follow Sadhu, Guru, and Shastra. It's Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the literal incarnation of Krishna. And like I said, these four principles, you follow these four regulative principles, you become the highest moral person in society. You worship God, you accept God as the absolute truth. You become the highest moralist in society. And unfortunately, people are envious of God, and therefore they don't want to accept these principles. And then they go on, you know, life after life, and newer and newer principles established, newer and newer philosophies, all very good sounding. And maybe they have some goodwill in the beginning, but they always fail to include human nature. Human nature, who is an atheist, or want to enjoy their senses without God, and then everything is going down the hill from there. This is a nice quote from Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, from second verse, from the purport. Modern warfare waged between capitalists and communists is due to their avoiding the advice of Srila Rupa Goswami regarding Atyahara. What is Atyahara? Who knows? Overaccumulating, right? Unnecessary things. We should have only Ishavasyam Idam Sarvyam, only what prescribed for us to keep body and soul together to be able to worship Krishna. So they're avoiding the advice of Rupa Goswami regarding Atyahara or over accumulation. Modern capitalists accumulate more wealth than necessary, and the communists, envious of their prosperity, want to nationalize all wealth and property. So much of these socialist ideas are coming into society nowadays. It's all based on envy. Why does he have? I don't know. He worked for it. Please. What does he have? Let's take it all away. Abolish private property. Karl Marx philosophy. Unfortunately, the communists do not know how to solve the problem of wealth and its distribution. Consequently, when the wealth of the capitalists falls into the hands of the communists, no solution results. Opposed to these two philosophies, the Krishna conscious ideology states that all wealth belongs to Krishna. Thus, unless all wealth comes under the administration of Krishna, there can be no solution to the economic problem of mankind. Nothing can be solved by placing wealth in the hands of the communists or the capitalists. If a $100 bill is lying on the street, someone may pick it up and put it in his pocket. Such a man is not honest. Another man may see the money and decide to let it remain there, thinking that he should not touch another's property. Although the second man does not steal the money for his own purposes, he is unaware of its proper use. The third man who sees the $100 bill may pick it up, find a man who lost it, and deliver it to him. This man does not steal the money to spend for himself, nor does he neglect it and let it lie in the street. By taking it and delivering it to the man who has lost it, this man is both honest and wise. Simply transferring wealth from capitalist to communist cannot solve the problem of modern politics, for it has been demonstrated that when a communist gets money, he uses it for his own sense gratification. The wealth of the world actually belongs to Krishna, and every living entity, man and animal, has the birthright to use God's property for his maintenance. When one takes more than his maintenance requires, he becomes, be he a capitalist or a communist, he is a thief, and as such, he is liable to be punished by the laws of nature. The wealth of the world should be used for the welfare of all living entities, for that is the plan of Mother Nature. Everyone has the right to live by utilizing the wealth of the Lord. When people learn the art of scientifically utilizing the Lord's property, they will no longer encroach upon one another's rights. Then an ideal society can be formed. The basic principle for such a spiritual society is stated in the first mantra of Sri Ishopanishad, Ishavasyam idam sarvam, yatkincha jagatyam jagat, tena chaktena bunjita, magridda kasya svidhanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and should not accept other things knowing well to whom they belong. I'll just finish this because it's so nice. Krishna conscious devotees know very well that this material world is designed by the complete arrangement of the Lord to fulfill all the necessities of life for all living beings, be that they are having to encroach upon the life or rights of one another. This complete arrangement affords the proper quota of wealth for everyone according to his real needs, and thus everyone may live peacefully according to the principles of plain living and high thinking. This is the quote coming from Simple Living, High Thinking. Unfortunately, materialists who have neither faith in the plan of God nor any aspiration for higher spiritual development misuse their God-given intelligence only to augment their material possessions. They devise many systems, such as capitalism and materialistic communism, to advance their material position. They are not interested in the laws of God or in a higher goal. Always anxious to fulfill their unlimited desires for sense gratification, they are conspicuous by their ability to exploit their fellow living beings. When human society gives up these elementary faults enumerated by Srila Rupa Goswami, Atyahara, etc., all enmity will cease between men and animals, capitalists and communists, and so forth. In addition, all problems of economic or political maladjustment and instability will be solved. This pure consciousness is awakened by the proper spiritual education and practice offered scientifically by the Krishna consciousness movement. So we have a big job. This Krishna consciousness movement offers a spiritual community that can bring about a peaceful condition in the world. Every intelligent man should purify his consciousness and rid himself of the above mentioned six hindrances to devotional service by taking wholehearted shelter of Krishna consciousness movement. So Srila Prabhupada doesn't side with any of these philosophies. His idea is that, once he quoted that in Bengal there is a saying that there is wet stool and there is dry stool. The stool has two sides. One is wet and fresh, and the other one is dry. So some people might say, oh, the fresh side is better. The other one is too dry. So this is better. It's a better decision. But we understand it's all stool. Both sides are stool. Just, there's no real difference. Therefore, for us, laws of karma, you know, we talk about good karma, bad karma. For us, it's all bad karma. Because even when you have pious, you know, results for your pious activities, you'll have to take birth again in the material world and, you know, enjoy and suffer, go through the dualities of this Devi Dham, Durga Dham, which is bereft of Krishna. And therefore, we don't engage or involve in all these mundane politics and philosophies. We simply accept Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharmam tu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam, and then we can conquer over this mama maya duratyaya very easily. So I'll stop there. See if you have any questions or comments or discussion on this subject. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for the class. I'm thinking that the qualities you mentioned of Kamsa, he represents the qualities of Kali Yuga. Just thinking, been thinking recently, going through all the bad qualities within myself, all the anartas, and I'm wondering if you have any tips, advice, how to get through the anartha nivritti stage and going through.
I think you shouldn't have become too mental about anarthas. I see anartha nivritti, right? It's one pattern. Anartha nivritti. You follow? So, I don't think you should focus on your anarthas, but we should be focusing on the positive, which is Krishna consciousness. Because you're focusing on anarthas, we identify them and, you know, we associate with them, and, you know, we get stuck, you know, on that platform. And we have no power, actually, to overcome. We do have power. We're not Christians who say, oh, we're born sinners, and we can't, it's not our fault. So we keep going sinning, and then we go through the process of atonement, and Jesus will liberate us. No, we don't follow that faulty philosophy. We follow that, yes, we give up anarthas, these unwanted things in the heart. But how do we give it up? We give it up by Krishna consciousness. Okay? So, sooner or if not later, you know, the anarthas will be gone. I mean, I've been practicing Krishna consciousness for a long time. 27 years or something. I have plenty of anarthas. I can tell you that. But I'm not worried about it. I'm happy that I'm on the path of Krishna consciousness, and I'll get there. Might take some lifetimes, but I already see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, so the hope is there, and I already understand, and I'm saved. And I'm not going to look back in the dark side of the tunnel and meditate on that and focus on that. Oh, and start crying and complaining about it, and oh, blah, 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 you know, why not, why it's so difficult. No, actually, we should set our mind on the target ahead of us, you know, and it's very easy. Another point is that one of Krishna's name is Rishikesh, the controller of the senses. So we can control our senses, then we have to pray to Krishna, who is Rishikesh. You please control my senses. I'm unable to control my senses. Please, you do it for me. You're controlling everybody's senses if you want to. And if I put my life in your hand, then there will be no problem for me. And the senses will not bother me. Another point is, you know, when you have a glass of ink, but you want milk in your glass, so you don't try to pour out the ink, make a big mess, you know, and try to clean it. You simply pour milk into that glass, because milk is higher in density and it will force out the ink. So you just have to focus on being Krishna conscious. You do your bhajan, your sadhana. You know, the more you do it, then the more you will become. And every one of us are different individuals. We have different and higher or lower degree of anarthas. But the process works. And according to your, you know, what you have in store, that store will be empty, you know, sooner or later. We just have to be, Rupa Goswami says, enthusiastic. Very enthusiastic. but patient at the same time. But focus on the positive, not on the anarthas. You know, we hear sometimes, oh, my mind is dragging me here and there while I'm trying to chant. So what do you do? Oh, yes, mind, what did you say? No, we ignore the mind. Go away, I have no time for you. So, we don't engage, you know, the negativity. Anything?
Regarding this anartha, I am to add a little bit, like from 11th canto, if you go back there, we can see that this anartha, and Hridayananda Maharaj is explaining in purport somewhere, that how, you know, we commit so many offenses and everything, it is because for devotees especially, that when they commit the offense at the lotus feet of spiritual master, guru, then all so many anarthas, you know, follows one after another. So it's a very nice point. He stressed.
Of course, there's different types of anartha. More like aparad. That is aparad. We talk about anarthas, you know, you might have. There's a nice work by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Forgot which one it is, but he explains the different anarthas and the different demons. Chaitanya Shikshamrita, yes, in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. It's a wonderful book. You should read it after completing Srila Prabhupada's books. It's a philosophical book, so it's not like a rasa tattva or anything, but it's very nice. But it describes the different demons that appear in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam in Krishna Lila. They represent different anarthas that we have in our hearts. For example, Putana. What is your guess? Who does she represent? You know it, so don't tell him. Nobody. So she represents false guru, a false teacher. Because she's false. Oh, I'm going to give you my breast milk, Krishna. And I nurture you like a mother. Huh? A guru is nurturing you and saving you from material life and feeding you spiritual knowledge. But Putana had ulterior motives. And so on goes. Pralambasura, intoxication. You know, things like this. So all these different demons are listed there. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, and when you hear these pastimes of these different demons, then anartha will be weakened by the hearing of this katha. So we have to hear again and again and again. Again, the process is hearing and chanting, which is outlined. I wanted to say, I could have said to you, just chant Hare Krishna. And everything will be all right, but it needs actually further explanation, so we understand why do we chant Hare Krishna. We can chant Hare Krishna and we'll certainly get some benefit, but if you don't know who Krishna is, what is this chanting, why are we doing it, then there are Mayavadis in Vrindavan who chant Hare Krishna and have a total different motive than us devotees. So therefore, it's very important to understand Krishna in tattva. Jamma karma chame devyam yovim. What is it? Tattvataha. See? That we understand Krishna, that one who understands me as I am in truth. Therefore, philosophy, the goal of Krishna consciousness is not philosophy. We use philosophy or jnana. So that we become convinced to come to the conclusion to chant Hare Krishna. That's the ultimate goal. Chanting Hare Krishna involves also hearing Bhagavatam. That's also chanting Krishna's Leelas or all the Yuga Avataras or Leela Avataras, etc., etc. Hari Katha. Anything else? Yes, Mataji.
Well, thank you for the class. I just wanted to clarify that pratyahar means withdrawal of the senses instead of like over accumulation of goods.
We talked about atyahara here.
Oh, okay.
Atyahara means over.
Right. And then pratyahara is
too many things that you need. And pratyahara means following rules without understanding the purpose behind it.
Isn't it like pratyahara is like opposite of, so it means withdrawal from the senses.
Oh, the yoga system you're talking about.
Yes,
that's okay, yeah. What I was quoting is from Srila Rupa Goswami's Upadesha Amrita. The nectar of instruction. And he says there are six things that should be avoided. Mm-hmm. Let me read it for you, 1 second. In order to advance in Krishna consciousness. Atyahara prayaschascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha lolyamcha sadbir bhakti vinasyati. One's devotional service is spoiled when he becomes too entangled in the following six activities. Eating more than necessary, collecting more funds than required, that's atyahara. Over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. Actually, pratyahara is not even in this verse, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Talking unnecessary about mundane subjects, practicing the spiritual rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement. Niyama. That's niyama. In this context of this verse. So following, practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. And then the fifth one, associating with worldly minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness, and six, being greedy for mundane achievements. These are the six things that spoil devotional life.
Thank you.
Are we done? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Mad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hey!